Here we have the Apostle Paul speaking, and he says, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And in that verse you see there how Paul describes himself as a debtor. He uses that word debtor in relation to his own Christian service for the Lord. What is he telling us here in this verse? He's really telling us here of his own obligation to serve Christ and to spread the gospel. Let me say tonight, dear brethren and sisters in Christ, just as this was the responsibility of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, so it is also the responsibility of every Christian, and indeed of every New Testament church. That is why myself and the other brethren go along each year down to the plowing outreach. Indeed, that is why each and every one of us who are saved by the grace of God should get involved in the service of God and in the service of Christ, as the Lord would lead us and guide us, and as the Lord would open up doors for us. Yes, Paul realized his responsibility. And I want us just to think tonight for a little while of Paul as a debtor in serving the Lord and spreading the gospel. The three simple thoughts I want to share with you. Notice, first of all here, the people to whom Paul was a debtor. The people to whom he was a debtor. He says in this verse, I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Notice how he mentions the Greeks there. He mentions the barbarians. He mentions the wise. He mentions the unwise. What is he telling us here? What is he teaching us here? He's really telling us that he himself owed a debt to the whole world as he surveyed it in his mind's eye and in his heart and in his soul. Much as if here Paul was surveying the uncounted millions of the world. In this verse and in his heart, and as he thinks of that, he says, to all these, I must pay a debt. And by that debt was making known the great mystery of the gospel. Now in thinking here of Paul and paying this debt, we must not forget what Paul himself suffered from the hands of this ungodly world. Turning your Bible over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And here with Paul testifying, and he's really telling us here what he himself suffered from this ungodly world. And look at what he says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. Speaking, if you like, of his own credentials, what he suffered as a Christian and as a servant of God. And he says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And there you see something of what Paul himself suffered at the hands of this ungodly world. But the truth that I want to set before you tonight, dear people, is this. Despite all that he suffered from this ungodly world, what does he say regarding that same world in our text tonight? He says, to this same world, I am a debtor. In other words, what is he telling us? He's telling us here that no amount of suffering, no amount of trials, no amount of hardship would deter him from making known the mystery of the gospel of Christ. And dear people, my, just as Paul was obliged to pay this gospel debt to the whole world, so it is indeed the same for each and every one of us who are saved by the grace of God in this meeting tonight. Remember the great commission of Christ to his disciples. He said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." That was the great commission of Christ to the church of Christ. And by all the world, it includes the south of Ireland. It includes the Roman Catholic people of the south of Ireland. The debt that God would have you and I to pay to this people is to make known to them the great mystery of the gospel. And you know, dear folks, the wonderful thing about this tonight is this, that in paying this debt, let us remember that the gospel itself is the best antidote for the ills of any society, whatever those ills may be they political, be they social, be they moral, be they religious. For notice what Paul goes on to say about the power of the gospel in the same chapter. Look at verse 16 of Romans chapter 1. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Knew the great power of the gospel. And by the gospel of God's salvation, what does it do? Praise God. It rescues men and women and young people from their sin. It delivers them from the penalty of their sin, from the power of their sin, and one day in Christ from the very presence of sin itself. And my every repentant sinner experiences and enters into this so great salvation. That moment that he or she puts their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Not, dear people, is why the south of Ireland needs the gospel, so that its people may be saved from the bondage of its sin, so that its people might be saved from the darkness and the superstition and the bondage of the very Church of Rome that has engulfed and controlled that land for generations. Why, as a church, we stand for the Protestant Reformation. We stand four square for that. But people, let us not forget tonight, who were the majority of the reformers? Where did they come from? The majority of them came out of the mind of the darkness of Roman Catholicism. That's where the majority of them came from. Why? Because there was a past remnant in their day who faithfully paid their debt in heralding the gospel. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, may we be faithful in our day, faithful in our generation, in spreading the gospel. May we not be found wanting. Yes, we see the people here to whom Paul paid this debt. But notice secondly here something else tonight in regard to this thought of Paul as a debtor. Notice the reason for Paul becoming a debtor. What was the reason behind him becoming a debtor? Well, we can say tonight that Paul became this debtor for Christ because he himself was saved by God's grace. He himself was an inheritor of God's so great salvation. He was a recipient of God's saving grace. And as one who was saved, what did he have? He possessed a great salvation. Through that salvation, all his sins were forgiven. All his sins were pardoned. Remember him as he writes to the church at Ephesus about Christ. He says, "Of Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace." And Paul had some sins to be forgiven as a blasphemer, as a persecutor of the church of Christ. Praise God and God's great plan of salvation. All his sins were pardoned. They were forgiven. My, in that great salvation, he himself was saved from wrath to come. Turn a few pages over from our Bible reading tonight to Romans chapter 5 and the verse number 9. And look at the words that he uses there, and he quotes himself here. This is his portion in salvation. He says, "Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath." And the wrath to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. He possessed a great salvation. We can say also tonight that he possessed an eternal salvation, a salvation that would never end. Remember the words of counsel that he spoke as he wrote to the church at Corinth. about his great eternal hope of heaven, he said to the church at Corinth, "We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." He had the hope of everlasting life, the hope of everlasting glory. My, he himself was now a possessor also of a powerful salvation. What did that salvation do for Paul? Praise God. It changed his life. The gospel changed his life. His life was changed. His life was transformed. Remember his testimony as he wrote to the church at Philippi. He could say, "For to me to live is Christ." His life was completely turned around by the gospel. Now, before he was saved, his life was man-centered. His life was self-centered, all about himself and about man. But now, when he was saved, his life became Christ-centered and God-centered. Everything revolved around Christ. His life was changed. And my, as Paul thinks here, the value and the worth of his salvation, as he ponders this in his heart and in his mind, he knows here that he has a great treasure that the masses of the world in his day had not yet found. Hence he says in our text tonight, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise." Now what's he telling us? He's telling us such is the greatness of his salvation. He cannot conceal it. He cannot hide it. He cannot hide that light under a bushel. Indeed, as he thinks of God and man, notice what he says in verse 15 here of the chapter. He says, "So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." People think of what Rome was like in the day of the Apostle Paul. It was the haven of all kinds of uncleanness, all kinds of wickedness, every kind of false religion. In many ways, it was the darkest of places that there could be found in the known world in the day of the Apostle Paul. But Paul was ready to preach the gospel to them that were at Rome also. Oh, as he thinks of what God has done for him in Christ, he could say, "For the love of Christ, constrain of us." My, he is compelled to make known the gospel, to tell out this great treasure. Oh, brethren and sisters in Christ, surely it is the same with ourselves. Yes, we are debtors, for we too have been saved by God's grace. Child of God, just think of it tonight. If God did not save you, where would you be tonight? Think of it. Where would you be? Where would you be? Anywhere but the prayer meeting, anywhere but the house of God. And it's all because of God's grace. And in Christ we've been brought into the banqueting house of the eternal riches of God's so great salvation. And my, this is a treasure that our fellow countrymen need. This is the treasure that the people of the south of Ireland need. For if our gospel be hid, does not the Bible say it is hid to them that are lost, to them that are perishing in their sin? Oh, as we think of all that we have in Christ, may we be constrained to spread the gospel among the Roman Catholic people, not just here in Northern Ireland. It's good to hear her brother Noel there visiting around Ross Trevor, and it's good to do that around localities. Let us not forget also about the Roman Catholic people of the south of Ireland. Yes, may we be like Peter and John, who said, "We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." May we have the spirit of C.T. Studd, who said regarding China and Africa, he said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him." Oh, may we be those who count no sacrifice too great for the spreading of the gospel, even among the Roman Catholic people of the south of Ireland. But just one final thought I want to share with you again from this text, and it is simply this: the manner in which Paul paid this debt. The manner in which he paid. How did he go about paying it? Well, he paid this debt to the world by simply spreading the gospel, by simply preaching the gospel, by simply witnessing the gospel, by simply living out the gospel wherever he went in his missionary journeys, wherever God opened up a door for him. He sought to do all that he could to spread the greatest message, the good news of the gospel, to the people. Turn back to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. And here you have him before King Agrippa. Here he is on trial. But even in the midst of his chains and his bonds and his imprisonments, what do you find him doing? Speaking of Christ. Telling of Christ. Look at verse 22 of Acts chapter 26. He says, having therefore obtained help of God. He knew his weakness, but he knew where his help was in God. He says, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. Think of those tremendous words, dear child of God. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Right to the very last breath that he had. In this seemeth time, he did all within his power to spread the gospel. O child of God, by God's grace, you and I seek to do the same. May we pay our debt to this world. How? By helping to spread the gospel. Maybe giving out a gospel tract. Giving out maybe a gospel calendar. Giving out a Bible. Sending out a Bible. Helping the furtherance of tracts and Bibles. Think of the parable of the sower that Jesus talks about in the Gospels. Speaks about a sower. What does that sower's work? He says a sower went forth to sow. He went forth just to sow the Word of God. I don't know if you were listening to the news, but on Saturday past there was a young girl, just 19 years of age. She died as a result of a road traffic accident, and she was buried there just on Sunday. A young girl, just 19, from Irvinstown. She had been involved in a serious accident the Saturday week before that, outside Ballinamother, just outside Enniskillen. It was the weekend of the rally that was on there in Enniskillen and round Sligo and different places there just the other week. And her and her few friends were at that rally. What were they doing at that rally? That young girl was a Christian. That young girl was there giving out gospel literature, gospel tracts to those people at that rally. And may she literally give her life for the spreading of the gospel of Christ. That's what she was doing. That's what her business was. Oh, may we be those also who seek in every opportunity to give out the word of God. Yes, by preaching the gospel, but by teaching the gospel. Paul said to Timothy, preach the word, be instant, in season, and out of season, even when it isn't favorable, where people don't want to hear it. Go on preaching and teaching the gospel. We can spread the gospel by witnessing it and by living it out in our daily lives in a practical capacity. Turn just over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Notice the counsel here of Paul and his desire for the people of God and the church at Philippi. Philippians chapter 1 and the verse number 27. What was his burden for this people? He says, only let your conversation, that speaks of their whole life, not just their words, but their actions, their attitude, their whole demeanor. He says, oh, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. That you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Over the years, I've heard the testimony of many converted Roman Catholics. I'm sure many of you also have had that pleasure and that joy as well. The thing that I've often noted as I've listened to brothers and sisters in Christ giving their testimony of how they were saved out of Roman Catholicism, and as they speak and testify, they will often tell you it was just through the witness of a friend, somebody whom they worked with, a neighbour, somebody who lived in the community. Was the means of leading them to Christ or bringing the gospel to them. See how important it is for us in our daily lives to let forth the gospel and to show it forth and to live it out in our lives. Also, we can support the gospel, yes, by our giving in a practical way, but most importantly of all, by our praying. by our intercessions, by our supplications day by day at the throne of grace and prayer. Just turn back there to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, or chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse 11. Here Paul is writing again the second letter to the church at Corinth, and he is commending them. He is encouraging them. What for? Notice what he says to them in verse 11. It says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." They were helpers with Paul. Maybe they never went to the places Paul went. Never went to the towns, the cities, the countries, but they were helpers with him in the place of prayer. And I believe that's a work that every single one of us who are saved by the grace of God can share in and can take part in and can engage in. And I would encourage you to pray particularly for this work. Yes, pray for the rest of the south of Ireland, the different needs there, but take this work up on your heart in prayer. Pray that God would bless and undertake, and God would own, and that God would use it for His honour and glory. And as God's people, may we follow just the example of the Apostle Paul himself. What did he say as he brought his first letter to Corinth to a close? He said, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord." Always remember, child of God, that your labour, whatever it is, for Christ, is not in vain in the Lord. May the Lord bless His word and that short report just to our hearts and to our souls tonight.